Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes, and this is the audio diary of my life on a Sunday morning. It's as grey as can be, 17th of November, 2024. The year is really racing by. The days are shooting by. Time has sped up, it would seem. But then, you know, what you assume, oh, what is the word I'm looking for? Assumptions, not assume, it would seem, appearances. Appearances can be deceptive. I'm making a cup of coffee this morning. I'm going to tell you about a book that came, remarkable and interesting book I am reading. I started to read it pretty much yesterday evening. I'm only a quarter of the way through, but it's fascinating what the author says. But before all of that, whilst the hot water whilst the cold water heats up and boils, find my slippers. Yesterday was a day in which I did a few things. I was asked if I wanted some coal and some logs the other day. So I said, yes, that would be very nice. Thank you very much. I didn't really use the coal, but you never know. It's always quite useful to have a little something. The fires will take them, although I don't often do that. Anyway, I said I'd pop over Saturday morning to collect it. She said it's in a green wheelie bin in her garden. So I drove over there. It's only down the road, but I drove over there in the van. Let me get some milk. And I had a cup of coffee with her beforehand. And then we loaded this stuff into the van. And it wasn't a lot of logs. I mean, it was really only a handful of logs. And not a huge amount of coal either, but it was all in the... Oh, what am I doing? Sorry. Just getting a bottle of milk out of the freezer, because the other one is coming to an end. One's always got to be prepared. Anyway. Right. I'm getting myself organised here. Sorry about all of this. Very naughty of me just to switch the thing on. I'm not even ready. Anyway, I wheeled the thing back. Drove it back. We got it in the car. Very heavy. Got it in the van. Came back. Got it out of the van. And I thought, what the hell am I going to do with this wheelie bin? And I wasn't quite sure. So, in the end, I realised that at the end of the garden, and I say the end of the garden, my garden's very tiny, at the end of the garden, by the fence, there was a bunch of stuff that had left us composting in bags and just earth in a tub and various things. And I thought, you know what, if I empty out this bin with the coal and stuff, I could use this big green wheelie bin as a composting bin and just shove everything in there. And so that's what I've done, really. And I put that in the corner, so it's actually quite useful where it is. So that was one thing. I tidied up the garden and there were bits and pieces. I thought, oh, I can shove them in this new composting bin. So I've done that as well. Oh, I needed that sip. It's only just after 7 or something in the morning. And then what happened after that? Well, I didn't do any writing yesterday. Oh, gosh, excuse me. I lit the Essie because Julia said she was coming round. We had some soup. I made some soup. Julia came round. We recorded an English couple, made some bread yesterday, which was very nice. And I said, you know what, I just not in the mood to do any writing. I know I'm going to have a load of emails to do. And Julia wasn't over last night. And I just said, you know, I'm going to have a bit of a day off from all of this, because the writing now has become part of my daily chore, and I don't want it to become something I resent. But you know what it's like, you've got to do it when you're writing a book, and I'm writing my book, and I'm 30 something thousand words in, and on a difficult scene and various things. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. And YouTuber told me the other day, that's it, we're not funding you now, you can't get any money from the adverts because of harmful content. I thought, well, thanks very much. So now I'm just reliant on the, at the moment, I'm just reliant on the donations of people. And I thought, well, I just hope this bloody book is going to sell. I have written children's books and they didn't sell. But this is one that is aimed at the truth movement people, and potentially can be given, I hope, because it's a fiction, but it has all the answers in it, such as it is. It can be given. It won't be in time for Christmas or anything like that. And I think people will enjoy. If it was just an ordinary story, I think people would just, you know, oh, well, Richard's, you know, it's a book, it's a fiction book, like any other billion of any other. This is very different in as much as the story has a whole load of stuff dropped in. You could give this to a friend. Am I the only one in the world at the moment who's just itching all the time? Is this the chemtrails? Is it something in the air? Is there something... I don't use... What do you call it? Oh, what's the word? The detergents on my clothes. I don't use fragrances on my skin. I don't use soaps. I put in Dead Sea Salts in my bath, yet my skin is constantly itching. I eat healthily. What is going on? Is it the EMFs? Or is it what they're spraying in the sky? Has anybody else got very itchy skin? Something very odd going on. Right. Blimey. Here's a lot on this one. November the 17th. In our diary thing. Jane Austen, 1798 in Hampshire, says, "What fine weather this is. Not very becoming. Sorry, not very becoming, perhaps early in the morning, but very pleasant outdoors at noon." Achoo! Excuse me. And very... Achoo! I haven't brought a bloody hanky with me, have I? Excuse me. We are on a journey, ladies and gentlemen, to find something to wipe my nozzle with. You would think that a man of my super intelligence... laughable intelligence would have thought that most likely to have a hanky in the morning when you're trying to get rid of whatever it is they spray out of your nasal capacity would be a sensible thing. You're all sitting there with wry smiles if you're still listening, and I don't blame you. I would be doing the same. Is there another podcast quite like this that relentlessly, day after day, spouts his early morning nonsense at you? I don't know. Jane Austen said in 1798 in Hampshire, "What fine weather this is. Not very becoming, perhaps early in the morning, but very pleasant out of doors at noon, and very welcome, at least everybody fancies so, and imagination is everything." S.T. Coleridge in 1799 in Westmoreland says, "The fog has now closed over the lake Ulswater, and we wander in dark, save that the mist is here and here prettily coloured by the withered fern over which it hovers." S.T. Coleridge later on in 1802 says all of this. "Cottages favourable only to vegetable life. Hotbed of wild weeds on their roofs and ivy on their walls, but the shrivelled shrimps of cold and hunger swathed tenants. Here lieth the body of Marge Bevan, who departed this life on the 9th day of June 1722, aged 19 years. Here lies two sisters side by side. They sleep and take their rest till Christ shall raise them up again to live among the blessed. And at the foot of a grave, a lower stone, nearly the same shape, only here lieth the body of Elizabeth Bevan, who died the 3rd of June, 1725, aged 22 years. At the last day, I am sure, I shall appear to meet with Jesus Christ, my Saviour dear, where I do hope to live with him in bliss. Oh, what joy at my last hour was this. While I took a copy, the groundsel showed its white beard on me. Groundsel and fern on the grave, and the thorns growing that had been bound over it. On a square tomb as high as half up my thigh were the tomtits and their black velvet caps showered down the lovely yew-berries on me. Here lieth the body of Sarah and Hannah Jones, the daughters of Evan Jones, and Jane, his wife. Sarah Jones died January 19th, aged 2 years and 3 months. Hannah Jones departed this life the 8th day of September 1746, aged 15 years. And that was that was a long entrance, but how fascinating and how sad. No explanation. He's just looking at graves, but how, you know, the body of Marge Bevan died 19. Two sisters there who died. It didn't actually say how old they were. And this other one, Elizabeth Bevan, 3rd of June, died 1725, 22 years. That was 2 years before that Marge had died. And then these two, then these others, Hannah Jones and Sarah Jones, one at 2 years old and one at 15. That's, that is very sad, isn't it, to read that and think. I mean, I'm 61 and if I die today, I don't want to do that necessarily. I would feel cheated out of life. I would feel that was early. But to die at 2, at 15, at 22 like these in back then, I find that really hard. I find it hard that people are cheated out of their opportunity to view the wonders and the beauty of the world. I think this world, especially then, it must have been remarkably beautiful. OK, admittedly, back then, much harder, less luxuries. But cleaner air, cleaner water, less polluted atmosphere, beautiful landscape. And to be cheated to see it, to do something with your life, to go somewhere and create something and all of those things, to have met someone, to shared your life, to have made love, to have borne children, to have spent time thinking about what it all means, to be cheated from all of that is very, very sad. I've been sent a book called A Fool's Wisdom, Science Conspiracies and the Secret Art of Alchemy by a chap called Stephen Young. And he sent this to me, and I'll put him on the show. It's a very interesting book. And some books I get, and yeah, they're interesting. Some books I get, and they hold my attention quite rapidly. And this one is one of those. He's I don't want to ruin it by saying too much, but he does, in the book, he is disentangling and showing, excuse me, that a lot of modern science is guff, is wrong, it lies, big lies that we've been told. So, I'll read the back. Attend to these words, gentle soul. Herein ye shall find a two-part alchemic discourse concerning the purity and veracity of scientific thought, separating the ugly truth, science, conspiracies, from the beautiful truth, the secret art of alchemy. Part one takes aim at the postmodern secular worldview of scientific materialism or scientism, rebuking and revealing the fatal flaws inherent in core beliefs and cosmology, as well as the various conspiracies and occult shenanigans underlying physics, chemistry, and medicine. It is said that adventure is an attitude towards discomfort. And to those theorists, statists, and sophists, take heed. There may be some discomfort ahead, as the pillars upon which you stand shall be systematically dismantled and debunked through a combination of wit, fierce logic, and timeless wisdom. Part two unveils the ancient hermetic principle of alchemy, also known as the science of transformation or the art, a universal system of spiritual knowledge common to all mankind, but hidden behind a mantle of domestic counterintelligence and worthless academic theories. Alchemy is so empowering and enlightening that it is deemed unfit for public programming. And so it must be sought out by curious individuals who initiate themselves on the path. Scientism is the troll that guards the gates of the foundation of the alchemic truth, and so it must be overcome before one can proceed to higher levels of knowledge. For the humble awakening soul and the For the humble awakening soul and the lover of wisdom, what awaits you in these pages is a treasure trove of philosophical gold, so potent as to transform even the most asinine fool into a sage. And I can tell you, it looks interesting. I mean, not only is it interesting, yeah. There are things in there, the foundations of which you think you have a basis of life. And then he goes through and he says, but we haven't seen it. Now, the other day I read a book by, what's his name? John Stuart Collins, talking about the atom and the nucleus whizzing around. And this is kind of in the 1960s. And he was talking about this because he'd studied it, presumably. And he references it and he talks about it. And this chap, I should tell you, I told you his name, Stephen Young. He says, atoms do not exist. It's fakery. The atom bomb is never there. Big bombs, yes, big bombs, big explosions, but atoms were never split. Power, and he is he has done this physicist stuff. He has read, I mean, he's done some incredible stuff, apparently. Anyway, he says, because I've done all this stuff, I actually realise it's all a fake. It's all a fake. It's all a sort of mathematical theory. And it isn't true. You can't prove it. It's no use to anybody. And it is rubbish. And we're running so many things based on these theories that do not exist, that cannot be empirically observed. And we have duped ourselves, sometimes intentionally and sometimes not intentionally. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it, dear boy. Put it in and smoke it. Which I will be smoking a pipe this morning, for I intend to make another smoking video. A pipe smoking video. Yes. I hope you will join me for that. Oh,
Golly. Waking myself up, the grey sky, there is the tiniest patch of sunlight beaming through. Not beaming through, actually, just a tiniest patch of sun, I can't describe it. It's sun trying to get through the clouds, is what I'm trying to say. I hope this has been in some way interesting. Probably not at all. Probably all over the place, as is it everything. I was also reading yesterday, so I wanted to take time to read, because reading is so important. I read a bit out to Julia, Fertility Farming by Frank Newman Turner. This is, again, another fascinating, completely different, as you know, and I read a bit yesterday, is a completely fascinating book about farming without plough or chemicals in the 1950s. Before, these other exponents of No Dig, who's the one down in Somerset Way? Charles Dowding, lovely bloke. But before him, this chap had written, he's done it. He's written a book about it. And there were others before him because he was inspired by others. The No Dig. And realising, in nature, plants don't need a tractor to go and dig it up and expose all the soil to the sun, burning off the mycorrhiza and all of that. You don't need the clods turned upside down so that the weeds that are on the surface decompose, but without oxygen properly, so that they are not bringing. He said in nature, compost, plants die on the surface. Trees leave their leaves on the surface. Boughs fall and decompose on the surface. And over a period of time, they break down with sunshine, oxygen doing their work to help break it down. And the earthworms and the various other things will, the creatures, the millions of creatures, will start to bring that into the earth to turn it into soil and humus. And it said that's the natural nature. It doesn't get ploughed up by nature. Might do with pigs and various things, but generally. So compost doesn't need to be dug in. Excuse me, my stomach is making a noise. It's you should put it on the surface, let nature do what it does, because that nature has got this down to a fine art. Man seems to think that he can shortchange everything, speed everything up, cheat. And as a result of that, look at what we've done. We have all these strange, peculiar GM crops. We have synthetic burgers, food that's not designed for humans. We have systems that are there to make people money, but not of any benefit to you and I. And we must resist this. Are we that stupid? It does seem that we humans are that stupid. You go to a fast food restaurant, you have something which has been speedily bred, cooked, grown, slaughtered, and has no nutritional value, has no intrinsic value to us as people, has no spiritual value. And we are so dim. We have been dumbed down to such an extent. It is incredible how thick we have allowed ourselves to be made and how stupid. And I cannot believe that back in the hunter-gatherer days, there would have been those people who are that dim and dumb that the wisdom of the world has not been shared or whatever and absorbed by everybody. I cannot believe it. I cannot. They would not have survived. Yet we hold them up. These thickos, these stupid people. In fact, some of them, we even vote for them and put them into government. And they are the most thickos, narcissistic, sycophantic bunch of cretins that you could ever imagine. And we put them, we allow them into positions of power over us. What are we doing? What are we doing? Get the crossbows out and sort them out. Thank you for listening. Till next time, goodbye.